Well, in the first half, Vinny Tortorich is going to join us in studio, and I will blow your mind with the song stylings of Ray Stevens. We'll get in some crazy diet talk, some Young Turks talk, some canoe talk, and we'll do that right after this.
This is about something that lights your fire when nothing else will.
This is the Mark Divine Show. This show, we're going to discover and dive in and discuss what makes the world's most inspirational, compassionate, and resilient leaders so courageous.
Transform the nature and functioning of our own brain for the better.
Go put your virtues in action. Be the best version of yourself.
Life is a practice. Day by day, get wiser and stronger and grow.
How do you understand enough about your own mind and psychology and emotions, and how do you develop a reflective awareness practice to actually get in the driver's seat of your own mind?
We go in-depth with people from all walks of life, martial arts grandmasters, meditative monks, CEOs, military leaders, stoic philosophers, proud survivors, and more. Every episode turns our guest experience into actionable insights that you can learn from to lead a life filled with compassion and courage.
I started putting all these little tools in my pocket, started to reflect a lot and meditate.
There has to be a balance between movement and rest.
It all starts with us. We cultivate these qualities in ourselves to become a beacon of light for others in the world. Please join us on the journey. The Mark Divine Show. Hoo-yah.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Rachel Lee Cook. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Vinny Tortorich drops by, and now, apologizing to Vinny for all the carbs now that football season has started, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. I chose to get it on. Man, did you get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grant?
That's right.
And Bald Brian.
Would you sleep with me if you're straight?
Vinny Tortorich in studio. Hello. We'll get to many things. Especially a replay of that LAUSD promoted video, the food neutrality video that's going to make Vinny's head explode.
That's totally above board.
So many other things to get into. But
footnote to that, I think of Vinny almost every morning because, Gina, you can probably attest, LAUSD is making a big deal. They're getting the word out to all the parents that breakfast food is free.
Yes.
Breakfast, lunch, it's all free. The California has
complimentary.
A huge surplus, and they're giving away food. Anyone who needs it, anyone who wants it, stop by and get your food before school, lunchtime. It's all free. And Tessa has caught wind of that now, and now she wants to go to the cafeteria every morning, and it's cinnamon rolls or
sure.
it's some sort
Sticky
of
buns.
Some sort of muffin or something.
Well, that's what I to
I'm
Brian's
steering
point.
Her away because the siren song is calling
exactly,
her.
And that's been our problem in the house because, you know, Brian and I both do lunches for the kids. So I do cucumbers and fucking shapes and strawberries cut up and I do the whole thing. But I don't have control whether he eats a hot lunch or not because it's free. So it's not like, well, I didn't give you any money. You have to eat what
over.
I... Exactly.
Well, I thought it was odd. Gina sent me a photo about a month ago and she goes, this is what was in my kid's backpack. And I went, boy, that was one hell of a week. And she wrote back, that was today.
Yeah.
There was nothing in it. It was like gummy bears.
Yeah.
It was Swedish fish.
Uncrustables. And
there was nothing of any value that I wouldn't give it to a starving person. It was an abomination of – was it really just one day?
Yeah. We call it the trash bag.
If you could find that
photo –
because
during the pandemic, you would take it home with you.
It was enough. I couldn't have – on a bet. Yeah. On a bet. I couldn't have
eaten
that at one sitting.
So not – this is a two-prong – anal raping. One is...
I didn't see that one coming.
Oh,
but
it's
okay.
Coming. You never see the two-prong anal
no,
raping
you only
coming.
See the one prong, yeah.
That's how I pull it off. If you saw it coming, you'd get out of the way.
Oh yeah.
It is A, giving the kids a bunch of fucking empty carbs and nut oils and high fructose
processed
corn
food.
Syrup and processed everything. It's poisoning them. And it's getting them used to the government giving them free food. Both horrible ideas. This notion of the government shall intervene and shall literally feed you. I mean, you are fucking – like the florist would say in the town, hooked up good and proper. That you fucking hook you up and get that free cheese in your fucking veins, and I wish it was cheese, then you're sucked into the government tent, what I like to call crate training. You got them early. Got them early with the gooey carbs, and you got them early with the freebies provided by the government. So you need to vote for these people so you can keep the freebie train going. It's fucking nuts. Every third commercial, there's another one of these props that's going on now. There's two props that are going hard. One is something to do with Indians and gambling. I still haven't gotten to the bottom of it.
Confusing.
And the other is the dialysis treatment. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just it's a cavalcade of black people saying, I'm going to die if prop whatever passes. Why is everyone on dialysis? What's going on with the diabetes? What happened with COVID? Why aren't we into diet? Why aren't we into nutrition? What the fuck? I mean, it's at a certain point, it starts to smack of a conspiracy theory. Like, we're scared to talk about nutrition.
No, it's not a conspiracy theory at all, because we talked about it out loud in 1968 when, you know, I'm not a political person, but the Democrats have always used, hey, let's feed people and give them something for a vote. I love that idea. You know, it's great. You want to do that. They were trying to figure out a way to get Robert F. Kennedy in office. And so McGovern said, okay, I'm going to start a committee, and we're going to study food stamps. You know, whether we could give people these stamps so that no one goes hungry in the Deep South, and we'll get all those votes. Once they started studying that, that study went on for 10 years. The McGovern, you can look it up. The McGovern committee went on for 10 years. Can you imagine today any committee? It would be like if we studied what happened on January 6th for the next 10 years.
Right. Uh-huh.
They did that for 10 years.
So we could get to 7. Back then it was a novelty.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at some point during that, Ansel Keys.
K-ration.
Yeah, the K-ration guy, the guy that was saying, hey, get away from saturated fat. He worked himself into that, and after we had already decided on food stamps, good idea, but we just kept going and kept going. And at the end, after 10 years, the committee literally threw up their hands. I put it in my first movie, Fatted Documentary, where the guy's sitting there going, I don't know, pick one. And they said, okay, we're going to go with fat is bad, carbohydrates are good. And another guy at the committee stood up and said, I think we're making a rash decision. They said, we're good. And right after we did that, we came up with some form of this is what you're supposed to eat, and that became the pyramid, and that became the beginning of what we see now.
Are people fatter now, or were they thinner then? And that's everyone at a certain point, it could be COVID, it could be homelessness or whatever. At a certain point, just look around. You see a whole bunch of fat kids. A fat kid was a novelty. There was one assigned to every class when I was a kid. One. Mm-hmm. Now it's the norm.
Assigned.
Something is going wrong. You can talk all you want about 7 out of 10 kids go to bed with food insecurities. Fat ass Lardo over there's got a food insecurity. Like, he's setting his alarm to eat fucking donuts at 4 in the morning.
Okay, you and I are about the same age.
Yes.
How many people in your class?
You mean like grade school graduating class?
Graduating
high
class.
School graduating class. I think there's about 700.
Okay, quick answer. Who was the fat kid?
Oh boy,
there was a kid. There was a one guy who played on the football team. There were three.
But name
big
one.
Dudes.
Give me one name.
Trying to. Oh God, let's see. Well, you know, it's weird because they were the fat kids, but they played the line on the football team. So it's not like they were sitting around.
Everybody knew in my school, 96 people. Phil Callahan, he was my best friend.
Oh, right.
He was the fat kid. No, he was my best friend. We're butthole buddies. We're just all the way down the line.
Two prong.
Yeah.
No, you knew who the fat kid was.
Yeah.
There was a fat kid.
There was a fat kid.
I had 700 people. We had three.
Okay.
And they played football.
Sounds about right.
Yes. Right? And all right. All right.
Yeah.
So the school lunches for a second. Gina alluded to it, but and you can't legislate this, but there is some pride in making your kids lunch. Mm-hmm. Like, that's my job around that. One of my jobs around the house. I'm not a great dad. I'm a good dad. I make good lunches.
Yeah.
It's all,
it takes some pride.
It all gets folded into the story they tell the therapist. You know what I mean? If you're the guy who gets up early and is making the lunch, you can find me and the Young Turks on this. Gary just played it a while back, but I don't know. It was about 8 years ago. I was talking to Drew about this, about me not wanting kids to have food. Everyone misses the fucking message. Everyone's gone completely batshit crazy. We'll circle back to nutrition. We have more important things to talk about, namely Ray Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
The artist. Yes, the streak.
Yes.
And many others. I want you to hear, you think Chongo had range. I said, pull 30 seconds out of Ahab the Arab. This is his first.
He did
kind
of novelty-ish song.
Yes, he did.
Not okay. Weird Al, but like right. Funny song. Like, you know, the country artists would do a funny song.
Right, like the CB Savage.
Yeah, love that song. All right, so we got Ahab the Arab. Could hear him talk to his camel as he rode out across the dunes. His voice would cut through the still night desert air, and he'd say, "Oh
yeah, insensitive by today's standards.
We're laughing.
Which is there, Mick? Yeah, right. Babies and Clyde
say, "That's his camel.
That's a good camel.
Pretty accurate, actually.
Clyde the camel."
Well, he brought his camel to a screeching halt. In the rear of Fatima's tent, jumped off Clyde, snuck around the corner and into the tent he went. There he saw Fatima laying on a zebra skin rug with rings on her fingers and bells on her toes and a bone in her nose. Ho, ho.
Oh my.
I don't know if that's historically accurate.
That's Ahab the Arab. Uh-huh. Yeah. And a few years later, he wowed the country with the Guitar Zan.
Oh.
But just clipped 30 seconds of craziness.
Tonight in the pale moonlight, and it sounds all right. Yeah, it's dynamite. It's out of sight. Let's hear it right now.
All right, so we got Ahab the Arab, we have Guitar Zan, and then The Streak, that most popular, 1974. Kind of spawned a movement. All right, the movement spawned the song.
You don't know The Streak?
No.
Oh, you're going to know it.
This was a phenomenon.
Yeah.
What is they calling The Streak? Here comes the game. Who's that with it? Ethel.
I like that he puts in his own laugh track.
Ethel, the prude, has now joined The Streak.
Oh. Yeah.
You get your clothes on.
All right.
This is the same world
this is this guy.
Rudolph, or Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Between all these, he won a Grammy. In between all
for
these.
For what?
He did regular stuff.
He beat out Elton John, Joe Cocker, and James Taylor for this Grammy in between these songs. Go ahead,
That's
Dawson.
Impossible.
'71. In between Guitar Zan and The Streak, he was beating out Elton John and James Taylor.
Don't sleep on Joe Cocker, bro.
And Joe Cocker.
Everything is beautiful.
You both know this.
In its own way. Like a starry summer night.
This was a number one hit.
Do you have the songs he beat out by Elton John? And,
if it's Sweet Baby James, I'm killing myself.
Let's say it was like your song.
Yeah, I do.
This is like the Coke I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing song.
He beat out Sweet Baby James?
No, he did not.
No.
Well, they would combine. There's a little controversy. They had the song and the album put together, but Sweet Baby James was the album.
Oh, sorry. Wait, Ray Stevens' full album beat out James Taylor's full album?
Beat out Elton John's, I guess, debut album, Elton John.
Oh,
beat
out
Second album.
Mad Dogs and Englishmen by Joe Cocker.
Oh, my God.
That's a travesty.
He beat them all. Right. The guy sung Guitar Zan.
Wow.
Oh, I wish I was around back then to talk Taylor about how the Guitar Zan guy just whooped your ass at the Grammys.
We can ignore the Grammys officially now, yes?
Well, wait, it makes sense because James Taylor ended up in an insane asylum for a while. Now it all comes
Now we know why.
Yeah, now we know.
Oh, this is what drove him there. Stevens drove him to literally probably dropped him off.
That's crazy.
This sounds like a joke.
Pissed was Elton John.
Three all-time legends and Ray fucking Stevens.
This song sucks.
And he had Guitar Zan and Ahab the Arab were the only reason they knew him. Like you had to know going in, like, who's this dude? Oh. He sung Ahab the Arab in Guitar Zan. Like, oh.
This is a joke.
We'll beat him handily.
Yeah.
Don't worry about him.
April 1st, Grammys.
We can thank him because had James Taylor never gone into that insane asylum, we would never have Fire and Rain.
All right.
Good
point. And by the way, Ray. I was walking into the building. And Chris was pulling up. Ahab, it was like boom, 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 boom. That's all I heard. And I went, "Oh, Ahab the Arab." He goes, "You know this?" It was like, "Yeah, it was."
He listened to probably 1 second of the song.
It was ubiquitous.
Yeah, it right there. Just that's how quickly it. That's how big that song was.
Wow.
Was there ever an Arab named Ahab?
I couldn't tell you.
Probably not.
Yeah, the song. Well, we can hear the whole Ahab the Arab, or at least the beginning part.
I'm sorry, you'd rather listen to that as opposed to Sweet Baby James.
Everything is beautiful.
Cleanse the palate.
You also have to understand he did Everything is Beautiful in 1970. It was a song about races uniting and everyone coming together. So the bullshit we're doing now, 52 years old at least. Yeah. This guy beat out James Taylor. Still alive, Ray Stevens.
Oh, we should have him on.
I said, book his ass. You ever hear this one?
Yeah, I'm vaguely familiar with this.
It's Dr. Demento.
Yes.
Where he was secretly meet
up with Fatima. Even Sammy Davis Jr. was doing Candyman and all that back then. It was a period of
novelty. We had the pet rock.
Yeah.
So, also, one of the songs that beat out as well, which is a song that's always bothered me, which is Rainy Night in Georgia, which is a good song. It's just the end bothers me. Do you guys know Rainy Night in Georgia?
Is it like a storytelling folk song?
By Brooke Benton, who I'm not sure who. I think that was Hugh Hefner's girlfriend back in the day.
There's Barbie Benton.
What'd I say?
Brooke Benton.
Oh, yeah. Brooke Benton. This is him. You guys are going to know it, I think.
It's pleasant enough. Hoovering by my suitcase, trying to
find a warm place to spend the night. Oh, I'm feeling this.
Sorry, what's it called?
Rainy night in Georgia.
It's a rainy night in Georgia. Hey, rain falling.
Seems I hear. It's ranked in the top 500, Rolling Stones 500 greatest hits.
Some blue eyed soul.
Yeah, not so blue eyed.
Not so.
He's a black guy?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. A rainy night in Georgia.
A rainy night in Georgia. He can't still be alive.
It seems like it's raining all over the world.
I like this.
I don't know the song, right?
Never heard it. Like
it's raining all
first time I heard it, I thought it was Elvis the first time I heard it as a kid because Elvis was doing those big orchestras and all that stuff. Same kind of thing.
I like the song. Yeah, there you go. See, if he was white, he'd still be alive and in Branson right now at the Osmonds. You get to the, about the last minute of the song. It's the only part that bothers me. It's the songs that don't have ends.
Oh, it's just kind of fade away.
The song has a non-end. No, it doesn't fade away. There it is.
It gets big. Find me a place in a boxcar,
so I take. How old was he when he died? I mean,
58, I think.
Yeah, there you go. That ain't blue-eyed soul.
Yeah. 56.
I was wondering, this is a hobo's lament. This is what this is.
Black don't crack, but it dies prematurely. I'll bring that up next time. One of my brother friends trots that phrase out. Well, look, when you're black, if you make it to 60 and you're a singer, you'll make it to 95.
That's a good point.
It's making it to 60. It's a rainy night
in Georgia. I love this.
You never heard this one before?
No, I don't know this either.
Gina, do you know like Diamond in the Back and all those songs?
No. Uh-oh, no.
I mean, it explains the type of car that all black people wanted.
I'm not familiar.
You know the song, right, Adam?
Hold on. We just have to listen to him scat. Here he goes.
Yeah. Oh, have you ever been lonely, people? And you feel that it was raining all over this man's world.
You're talking about raining. Stretch. Raining over the world. Phil.
The producer's like pointing at a lunch bag going, bring it, rain it. Georgia. Oh, you know, Coke's headquarters is in Georgia. You know, Herschel Walker's a bulldog. Rain it. That's the only part of the song I don't like is when they can't just bring it home.
Yeah.
Rain was because like Buddy Guy did a song about rain.
Mm-hmm.
That was really like,
Feels like Rain.
That was another great song. And
love that song.
A lot of songs about Georgia, too.
All right, so another good song that Ray Stevens whooped up on at the Grammys.
Badass.
Wait, what?
He beat that song, too.
Oh, this is part of the crew.
Yeah, it's Elton John. It's Mad Dogs in the English, Joe Cocker. It's Rainy Night in Georgia, and Sweet Baby James. Beat them all.
That's incredible.
We're such assholes.
Ahab the Aram.
Oh, boy.
Open a can of whoop ass.
Yeah. By the way, John Hyatt also did Feels Like Rain.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right.
But that wasn't a cover, was it? That was
I always thought it was a Buddy Guy song.
Me too, but I think,
it might have been a John Hyatt song because he was the songwriter.
He did Feels Like Rain.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, it's a different, version. Anyway, we used to write songs about rain. Rain is not as impactful with the tire technology and umbrella technology. Sure. It's not a thing.
No.
Not a thing.
It doesn't ruin your relationship. It doesn't do
anything. We have French drains, proper,
irrigation
and drainage. You know.
Shut up, Florida.
Yeah.
Come on. I'm talking about
we got this wired.
Right.
All right. So just a little catch everyone up on Ray Stevens up
there. Thank you.
We will get him on.
Oh, yeah.
He sold a kajillion records, man. I mean, if you were around in the 70s, Ray Stevens was around.
Was that song during the I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing moment? Because then I get where everyone's head was at. Because that's what it sounds like. It sounds like the Coke song.
He did it in 70.
So wasn't that the 80s?
I don't know.
I believe that was more mid or 70s. Oh. I think that song ushered in a lot of those songs.
71. So it's
a Coke song?
Apparently.
Oh, so it's
literally holding hands on the
seekers.
Literally a year before.
So that was of the time. Wow.
And blame Jimmy Carter, I think.
All right. Jimmy Carter.
That was 78.
Came later. I don't know.
All right. So we said we're going to anger Vinny with our food neutrality video.
He's going to love it.
Can we just stick with Buddy Guy and just call it a day? I can just ease on it.
Yeah, we'll play the vid.
Okay.
I guess you haven't seen it.
Let's see what you got.
Surprise.
Donuts? Those are so bad for you.
Oh, no. Are they moldy? Are they poisoned? Are you allergic?
No, I'm just saying.
Mm. You're judging my food choices based on a false standard of health again, aren't you? Guilty.
Diet culture, fat phobia, and systems of oppression have created false hierarchies of food, and it shows up everywhere.
Systems of oppression.
For instance, harmful thought patterns like earning food through exercising, or that dessert is the reward for the punishment of eating vegetables.
Remember that you do not need to earn food.
We are all incorrectly taught from a young age that our size, and therefore the foods that we eat, are markers of our self-worth. Moralizing food can lead to harmful relationships
morbidly
with food
obese
and disordered eating.
Instead of focusing on good and bad choices, try to approach food with neutrality in mind.
The only foods that are bad for you are foods that contain allergens, poisons, and contaminants, or food that is spoiled or is otherwise inedible.
Eat without guilt, regardless of what society says.
Smarter in seconds.
Okay. LAUSD shared that video.
Before we start focusing, as she said, on food, Chris, can you do me a favor? I hate to put you to work. I need you to find a picture of Men on Film and put it next to the girl with the thing on top of her head. Okay. You'll see what I'm talking about. Damon Wayans with the little hat on top of his head.
Oh, that's racist.
I thought Two snaps in a Z formation. Mm-hmm.
I thought that this was a joke when you first... No. So let's be clear.
Although
this is not a Men on Films bullshit.
This is not parody. This is fat people wanting you to join them in their obesity. I've been screaming about this for as long as I've had a microphone in front of me. We trotted out a phrase, you cannot judge, and everyone just agreed. No judging. Well, this is what no judging gets you.
Bring me along. Who put this out?
Well,
who paid for this?
Somebody kind of blew the lid off it because one of the chicks was a spokesperson.
Let me read the headline.
Yes.
As Vinny always says, let's peel back the onion a little bit. And the headline is, the black nutritionist who works for Mondelez Foods, they own Oreos and Chips Ahoy and a lot of snack and candy products, is making TikTok videos that accuse fitness and nutrition programs of being racist. And her TikToks are being shared in several school districts.
Any more discussion needed here? Any at all?
Nope.
I mean, thank you, Gina. It's like when you guys told me, pasta is on the plate. I went, who did the study? Oh, it was Barilla.
Right.
Ta-da. This drives me nuts every time I see this. So this is all over the place, right?
I thought it was
a joke. The whole time, it was like, okay, they put this together in the back somewhere. They got the woman looking like Men on Film and mm-hmm. the whole thing. This can't possibly be real. This can't possibly be happening. We have a problem. We're trying to stop a pandemic, and they're driving an infected monkey to the airport.
That's right.
This is the opposite of what we should be doing. I walked into I had to buy a Hot Wheel the other day. So I walked into
One has to buy a Hot Wheel.
I had to buy
you
a Hot Wheel.
To buy a Hot Wheel.
It was a GTO. It's pretty awesome.
Nice.
Green. So I went to the Target. Uh-huh. You know the Target. You go to the Target. I walked in. I'm the guy that walks in here all the time and says, you can't fat shame. Fat shaming has never helped anyone. You know, they know they're fat. They know they have a problem. There's no reason to shame. But there's also no reason that every model I saw when I was walking through ladies' lingerie and sportswear wearing the bippy top with the fat rolls underneath.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can go, okay, everyone, look, we want to look at people like us. We want to do. The problem is that these people are not healthy. And I know it's not cool to talk about Lizzo. And I know it's cool to say she's beautiful. Fine. Guess what's not beautiful? Her liver is not beautiful. She's got to have the beginnings of fatty liver disease. She has to have type 2 diabetes. She has to have sleep apnea. By definition, this is a very sick young woman. Very talented, but very sick. But we're putting her out there and going, oh, look at her. She's beautiful. And Adele, the one that decided to lose weight, she's the fucking pariah. This is where the problem is.
We're an upside down world. Listen, you can take subjects, maybe political subjects, and you can go, okay, you know, maybe the border, maybe taxes, or maybe school choice or something like that, and you break it off and compartmentalize it. A fat nation affects everything all the time. It's everything. It's COVID. It's the medical system.
It's the military.
It's the military. It touches everything. So could we as a society focus on it, or do we just want to yell at Bill Maher, who brings it up every once in a while? And there would have been no better time than COVID to bring it up, but
not interested.
Well, it's so clearly the person, it's essentially this. I was a shit student in high school. I had friends who were good students, and it bothered me. Like I had friends that went to Cal and Stanford and stuff like that. And I used to remember like kind of saying to them like, well, you don't want to make your whole life about studying and stuff like that. I was kind of ashamed of where I was at. And I was kind of trying to go, why don't you rip a bong load, not hit the books this weekend? You know, and I wish because of my shame that people could kind of come down to me. And so what this is, that's Sonny. He doesn't give a fuck. With the only difference between I felt shame. And so it's a bunch of fat people who don't feel like feeling shame. And then a bunch of skinny models who are going to get that of girls for then protecting them, which is causes. There's a dynamic. There's a psychodynamic behind it. That's what it is. And then you mix in, you know, the government and the food pyramid and Big Oreo, and we're fucked. And now no one wants to talk about it. It's insane. It's like a fiduciary duty that the government has dropped.
You're almost right.
Okay.
We do want to talk about it in opposite world, because a few short years ago, before we found out he was a pedophile, we all loved Jared. Hey, Jared, look
yeah,
these are
Subway
the pants.
Jared. Yeah.
These are the pants I used to wear, and he would hold them out.
Yeah.
Right?
Those pants could fit four kids, he would
easily.
Say.
Easily. Jesus Christ.
That's what I heard.
And I said easily. Yeah. Okay. I didn't mean that. Somebody cut that out in post. We were praising people who were one time fat and lost weight.
Right.
Now we're taking fat people and saying, go for it, sister. Yes. Double up, triple up. We're all in with you.
Right.
And when you mention military, you would be shocked at how many people. I do these consults. People can go to my website and do these consults, right? At least once a week, I get someone from the military who came back from Fallujah or came back from somewhere in the Middle East. And the first thing they'll say to me is, everything in the comments area, whatever they call it, everything they feed us, everything is carb, carb, carb. Can you help us? And I said, no, I can't help you guys. I can help you.
Yeah.
But the military ain't calling on me.
You know what's actually kind of crazy, insidious, is when I was growing up, you could get snacks and candy and chips and things like that at the liquor store, the 7-Eleven. I cannot tell. I was at a fucking Kinko's a week ago, just standing in line, look to my left, see a full rack of chips and cookies and snacks. And your first impulse when the guy says, yo, buddy, I'll be with you in about 10 minutes, is you just look at the chips and go, yeah. And I've been with people where you go into not the food store, you go into the stationery store, whatever, and they come out eating a fucking bag of chips. Right. And you're like, oh, you're eating everywhere you go along the fucking way. And then good luck if you got a fidgety 7-year-old with you who's got to wait for you to take the passport photo, fucking talking them out of the cookie pack at the counter at the Kinko's. It's fucking nuts. People are going to have to start waking up and policing themselves. We have the Young Turks yelling at me about breakfast. We'll get into in a second. Or Vinny as well. First, let me hit concrete. Well, there you go. Your body makes half the creatine it needs. The other half comes from your diet. But most American diets are low in creatine-rich foods. That's where concrete comes in. Patented creatine, HCL, is a favorite of the elite creatine takers. Well-informed athletes. The number one bioavailable creatine and the only microdosing creatine. Just one small scoop per 100 pounds of your body weight. Mix it up. Has a nice lemony flavor to it. You feel the energy immediately. I take this stuff. Drew takes this stuff. Creatine is required for functional energy in every cell. Your brain uses about 20% of the creatine in your body. Your immune cells need it as well. Your heart cells need it to pump blood, and your lungs need it to breathe. It is concrete, right, Dawson?
Take control of your health, both body and mind. Build a better you with concrete. Register now at con-crete.com/podcast. That's con-crete.com/podcast for a chance to win a $500 Walmart Visa gift card, available now online and in-store at Walmart. Concrete is truly life-changing and performance-enhancing.
So when we come back, I guess, I don't know when it's from, Chris. It was about 8 years ago or maybe more when I was explaining. I wanted people to make their kids their own breakfast and not right. send them off to school. The Young Turks had a big issue with me saying parents should make their fucking kids breakfast, which I've been yelling for in a million years. We'll take a quick break. Catch you up on that right after this. You own, you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico Easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Adam, this is Dave from Rapid City, South Dakota. I've been listening to you for a couple of years now. I love your show. But I was just coming across some old videos, and I came across a Hamilton, Joe Frank, and Red Old song called Don't Pull Your Love. And one of the guys, Joe Frank, is Joe Frank Corolla. Is there any relation? Get it on. Let's get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Don't blow your love out on me, baby. If you do that, I'm thinking maybe I'd lay me down and cry for 100 years. Big horns, man. Now, that's a song that sort of sounded a little Elvis-y back in the day, too. Is he a Corolla?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Is he related? Well, let's see. Did that album make any money?
Yes.
Did they tour?
Oh,
did
yeah.
they have success? He cannot be related to me then. I don't have to see how he spells his name or who his third cousin is. If he had any modicum of success whatsoever, he cannot be related to my father. You know this one? Come on, bro.
You know this.
What's it called?
Don't Pull Your Love Out?
Don't Blow Your Love Out on Me, Baby.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah,
if
yeah.
you do, then I think that maybe I'll just lay me down, cry for 100 years. Don't blow your love out on my honey. Take my heart, my soul, my money. Don't leave me drowning in my tears. Hey, he's been a good dude. Hey, Chris, I'm not kidding. It's a fucking killer song.
Without a single word.
Big horns, too. Strings.
Yeah.
Close my door, because I know I won't see you anymore.
Bum, bum, bum. Your dad must have liked this one, Brian.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard this song a number of times. I didn't know it was called.
I'll just lay me down, cry for 100 years.
Don't pull your love out on me, honey. Take my heart, my soul, my money, but don't leave me drowning in my tears.
He's a good dude.
Technically, you could be related because he was a Corolla.
Oh.
And you were a Corolla.
He bought her a ring.
Doesn't that mean anything?
Vinny is still steaming, by the way. Just looking at Vinny. He's just so pissed right now.
Are you guys running cameras today?
All
There's
right.
no cameras, right?
Vinny's stewing. All right. He's a Corolla?
Corolla.
Adam, are you Italian enough to become an Italian citizen if you wanted to?
Is that an option?
I don't know.
Kidding.
Well, my cousin did it.
They've elected a fascist over there.
I
the first female fascist. CNN celebrates the females, except for when someone disagrees with them, then they're fascists, which I love that.
Did you guys have the old, like the grandpa from Italy living in the house, the whole thing?
My grandmother and grandfather were back in South Philly. That's who they were.
But they came over?
Yeah. We were Corollos and Corollas when I found my Uncle Ralph's old war, you know,
right.
paraphernalia, the badge and medals and stuff. It said Corolla. I said, I had two very, very illuminating conversations with my dad. I said to him two things. This is a don't sweat the details kind of dad. I said to him once, I go, how come I have no middle name? What was the thought behind that?
He goes, really don't have a middle name.
I don't have a middle name. He goes, yeah, I don't know. I don't ask your mom. And then when I said to him, when I got Ralph's shit, it said Ralph Corolla everywhere. I went, your brother went by Corolla. Yeah. But you go by Corolla. And he goes, yeah. I go, how come? He goes, yeah, I don't know. That's how tight-knit the family
yeah.
was.
He's and like, curious.
But it's an insight into my dad's world, which is, I don't know. What are you asking me for? He's like, well, because it's your brother. Or your son.
Your name,
there's names.
What do you people
did
name
Did he really? I get fascinated. I want to sit down and drink with you one day. Did he?
Done.
Did,
and done.
Did he really not work his whole life? Or was that your mother?
No, my mom didn't work her whole life. My dad was like a substitute school teacher. Then he was. Then he worked at 5 Acres, which is a orphanage, right. essentially. He did that for 10 years.
He was a leading man.
He's a leading man in a movie. Not in a movie. A non-speaking role in a short film. No, he worked some. It was just kind of dribs and drabs. I mean, he had jobs. He wasn't, you know, on welfare. He was just kind of chillax, you know.
He's still with us, right?
Yes. He didn't make investments.
Okay. So how does...
All right. Don't, you're thinking like an Italian. Don't ever apply that. But he married somebody who's gainfully employed and does the heavy lifting.
I'm good.
All right.
No drink needed.
We have the Young Turks video from 8 years ago where I happen to be talking about making breakfast. But listen to how they make their points on,
good, Chiron.
I'm naive. Adam and Naive.
But,
tell me if you hear the point I'm making and then the point she makes about the point I'm making.
Adam Carolla was speaking with Dr. Drew on the Adam and Dr. Drew show. Cool. And they were discussing the issue of politics. And it turns out that Adam Carolla has become kind of political, which he didn't really see himself doing in the past. But he addressed this in a very, very lengthy discussion. And I want to show you a few snippets of it. Let's take a quick look at the first video.
I think I've become more conservative as I've gotten older, as I've had a family, you know, as people do when they get older and they have a family and they pay more in taxes and they start looking for school systems for their kids that are usable and things like that. There's a move toward a more conservative life in general as you get older. But as far as my talking points go, you know, stop shitting out kids you can't afford. You pay for their school breakfast, not because I want you to pay for their school breakfast, but because the kid should know that mom and or dad are paying for breakfast. I mean, making the effort. It's a psychological thing. It's not a matter of I don't want to pay 39 cents a day for your kid. I don't give a fuck about that. Half fucking government takes half my money and does whatever the fuck they want with it anyway. I mean, that's your kid's breakfast is the least of my worries. I worry about your kid and the message that's being sent to your kid by mama not making them breakfast. That's what I worry about. But my talking points have not changed. Get your shit together. Get to work. Stop shitting out kids. So on and so forth.
I love that video because for someone who doesn't give a shit about breakfast, he talks about breakfast throughout the entire clip. He's like, make your kids breakfast. Now, what I love about that is it's always the go-to argument by some conservatives and usually the least informed conservatives, right? They're really angry about free lunches. And of all the issues, of all the different things that we waste our tax dollars on, to go to the issue of school lunches just befuddles me. I just don't understand it, right?
All
but
right.
He gets into...
I made myself clear. It's not the money.
Right.
It's the effort. It's the indoctrination. It's the detachment a kid has. This is very important bonding moment of making your kid breakfast. This is her hot take on what I said, except for in the fucking clip the idiot played, I said, I don't care about the money.
Yeah, you literally said, I don't care about the money. They take half of my money and do whatever they want with it.
Yes.
And she said,
this is the least of my worries in terms of what they're doing with my money. I want you to make breakfast for your kids.
And she also says, all he talked about was free lunch. Well, that was the question on the table.
That's what I was saying. It's a metaphor, by the way. I'm not obsessed with breakfast. I'm saying I want kids raised by their parents, not by the government. Anyway, this is their fucking rebuttal. They're fucking idiots. I don't even know. Look, your own clip shouldn't defeat what you're saying. Pick a better clip.
Well, and that's the thing. If your point is it's not the money, it's the psychology, then come back and talk about that. You may agree or disagree with that, but that's the point you're making.
Yes, that's the point. Not me paying for breakfast. Hey, it was stated that I don't care about the payment.
Vinny, ask me what my husband makes my son every morning for breakfast.
So, Gina, what is your...
Bacon and eggs. Oh, every nice. Morning.
Good.
How's he like them?
He likes them soft because he doesn't like like chewy, quote unquote.
Yeah, Tessa has very specific egg roll. She likes daddy eggs.
No, and every once in a while, he does something I cannot do, and I do not abide by hard-boiled. He likes them hard-boiled.
I wish I did.
Vinny can never get through to me because two things that he thinks will save the world, and I agree, I can't do. Hard-boiled eggs and olives. I'd love to. I can't do it.
Can't do any form of an olive?
No. And I lived in Greece.
Black ones are inert.
It's an aftertaste. Maybe.
Everything
maybe.
Has an aftertaste.
No, but like it's an offensive aftertaste. And I love olive oil.
I get the green ones with the pimento can
Those
be a little
more interesting
tough,
to me, but I can't
But
do it.
The black ones are just sort of.
It's a salt delivery system.
Yeah, yeah. It's a way to deliver water and salt.
What if you stuff them with a little cheese? And
no, I'd give that a try.
Yeah, eggs, even like grated up on a salad or something, chopped up.
I'm not a fan.
Deviled eggs?
I do like deviled eggs. I only like the middle, though. I don't like the white part.
Yeah. My deviled egg dilemma.
I don't like whites. That's what
I meant.
Yeah. I love a fucking deviled egg.
Deviled eggs are the best.
Yeah, I can kill a dozen of them right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah.
I have to refrain myself from eating too many at like dinner or a party because that's gauche.
Well, right? And
there's no stopping point with the deviled egg.
But that's it's what like I don't chocolate. Understand it's because just... the old school deviled egg plate only you can only fit like 12 halves on it. I've seen those deviled egg trays. That's what you bring to a party? 6 halved deviled eggs?
Well, Tony Barbieri, one of Jimmy's writers, would always do his deviled eggs, and he just put them on a big spread and put some saran wrap over the top of them, and I would go nuts. Proper amount of paprika, paprika sprinkled on top.
He didn't put tarragon or any of that.
No, he going.
That's an abomination.
And let me tell you about the deviled eggs. Keep your fucking bacon bits. Let me tell you what bacon is for. Bacon is for eggs, and bacon is for fixing liver and other shit that needs fixing.
Wrap it around.
Deviled eggs ain't broke, bitch. Just say keep the fucking bacon out of there.
You just said bacon's for eggs.
It's for eggs being
proper
next
egg.
To eggs, oh, not grated up on top of
eggs. Do you
guys
want
eggs.
Me to make deviled eggs next week?
Yes.
Please. And next time I come in, you might want to make them again.
Of course.
Vinny, I'll try to put you in a better mood because this country's heading to hell in a handbasket. But again, it's all because we stopped judging. We stopped judging. You used to judge the fuck. If there was some parent who didn't make their kid breakfast, you would judge the fuck out of that parent. Now we encourage the kids. And also, the shit they get, I have flashing back to the government-provided Colfax Elementary French toast with the little packet of the syrup that you dump all over it.
Had no expiration date.
Yes, versus the hard-boiled egg at home. Come on, what 9-year-old's not heading in for the gooey richness of the French toast?
Speaking of not changing your talking points, I've been hanging around you long enough to remember on Loveline when you and Drew would take any number of calls from any number of idiot teenagers who were doing risky behavior, just dumb and making bad choices. You would effectively sign off the call. I mean, every time you hung up, it was like, don't have any kids. that's how you like said goodbye.
Well, I would scream all the time. Drew has 3 kids. If the world sort of approached it that way, then we could all sleep with our front doors unlocked. And we don't have to worry. I mean, there is a math that a pretty simple Darwinian math that where it comes down to shitty people shitting out kids is what fucks up a society. I understand sometimes people go south. Sometimes there's lots of white collar crimes and stuff like that. But Go to the prisons and find out the people are in there for violent crimes, and you tell me how intact their fucking families were. That's it. Yeah. It's an easy equation. Somehow it's a third rail for politicians. I don't know why. It's this weird. It's an interesting thing. I should ask Gina. There's definitely a celebration. And it is getting to the point of celebration of abortion, but there's no judging about not having a dad in the house or broken families or too many kids on welfare. Like, be consistent. Let's go all in.
I don't know if it's a celebration, but I'm trying to take your point.
There's a lot of women bragging that they've had a lot of abortions and stuff. It's getting to that point. All right. Used to be, it was, I don't know, whatever Clinton said, rare, safe, and legal or something. Clinton said, abortion, rare, safe, legal, or some version of that. We can, Chris will find it. It's not getting to the point it is now.
He also had interesting things to say about welfare, that this is not a way of life.
Yes.
Maybe he knew a thing or two.
Yes, things have changed. But I'm saying keep the families intact, feed the kids, focus on the family and education, and let's see how things turn out.
But at least they started listening to you on Don't Shit Out Kids if they're having legal and safe abortions.
Yeah. I'm a fan of non-kids. But rarely for people who shouldn't have kids.
I'm with you 100%.
I don't mind the responsible people want to pay their taxes and make the breakfast 100%. And have as many fucking kids as they want. I don't care. It's unwanted kids that are going to end up being in prisons that I fucking hate. Sorry. What were you telling me here, Chris? Safe, legal, and rare.
Exactly, except you just had them in a different order.
Oh, I said rare, legal, and safe.
Well, you were wrong.
The ad company thought that safe, legal, and rare sounded better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay. All right, Vinny, let's put you in a better mood.
Thank God.
Kayak update.
Oh, yeah.
Look at him. Perked up.
Thank you. Yes, still working on it. And I now have the whole the deck and the hull is all together, and I have it all glassed. But now I have to go and sand down, you know, because you put the fiberglass and you put that coat. But if you put another coat on top of that, you'll still see the waves in the glass. I sent Chris some pictures, but you can kind of see on the corner. You can see, man, like the waves in there.
This is a work of art.
But I'm going to sand that down. And then once I sand it down, I'm going to put another coat. It's going to look like something like a Riva, you know, something out of Italy. And the other problem I had where I'm putting that lip.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing was matching up there. I literally had to chisel some of that away. So it was the first time since I started that I had to take some boat away to make all of those lines line up. Because I got this weird thing about imperfection and, you know, it comes from my mother nut.
It's beautiful.
But you can see the wave in there. That's going to all be sanded down and redone.
You got to wet sand it?
No, dry sand. And I'm going to use an orbital, you know, just a real light.
And there's no wet sanding involved?
I haven't used wet sand yet.
Someone's going to tell you to wet sand.
What do you mean wet sand?
Well, according to Joy Schott over at Turning Point Boatworks, no wet sanding.
Guy doesn't know jack squat about kayaks.
What's wet sanding?
Talk to the Ace Man.
Except he'll bill you one for $25,000.
Sanding.
That's what Adam did at Jimmy's sandbox.
Pistons get sandbox.
So what would you do?
He was so bent out of shape about that.
What would you do?
I'm surprised. So sanding goes, starts with like 60 grit, and then you go to 80, then you go to 120, then you go to 220 or 180, okay. 220, 320, 600. At a certain point, if you're painting a fine automobile and you're doing a clear coat or whatever, at a certain point, you get down to wet sand, which is, I don't know, 1,000 grit and dipped in water.
Actually feels good.
Literally,
on your face.
Yeah, literally exfoliating. Wet sanding.
That's so it's when supposed to be wet and it's sanding at the same time.
That's when you get to the last.
You're buffing at that
of
point.
It.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
But let me explain why that's not going to happen here. Because you see those bumps. That's the little bumps.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fiber from when we put the fiberglass on and then, you know, put the epoxy over it. We now have to sand that down. And there's going to be another coat of epoxy. We're going to sand that down, and then varnish goes over that.
Oh, varnish over the epoxy.
Oh, yeah, because you don't want it to. You don't want the sun to start beating up that wood.
Oh, to start turning yellow. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
All right, don't get too happy with that orbital.
You got to go light and bright.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you go a little happy with it, and you get down into
just
the
just don't talk
fiberglass.
To me about racist eating habits, and I'll be able to take it
well,
easy.
Speaking of, when I think of varnish, you know what the first thing that comes to mind is? Hmm. Are you guys familiar with the Jewish dish, kasha varnishkas?
No.
It would.
It's a
Vinny,
potato
you'd
dish.
Never stop running. No. It's literally buttered bow tie pasta sprinkled with grains and rice. This is kasha varnishkas.
Are you
that's
putting
not
rice
Jewish, that's
on,
white
on,
trash.
On top
it's
of bow ties?
It's basically barley on buttered bow tie pasta.
It's Midwest white trash.
Grain or Vinny.
It's peasant food. That's all they had.
Sure. I haven't heard anything this bad since Adam told me he took grape nuts and put orange juice on it.
Apple juice.
Apple juice.
Apple juice. I didn't think it could get any worse, but I think the Jews just topped Adam by.
We were always on the run.
Well, that was the pyramid. We thought that animal protein was bad and dairy, you know, anything that had fat, animal fat in it was bad. And we thought all juice was good. Mm-hmm. And so we thought grape nuts were good. And so if you wanted to be
hearty,
healthy, you'd do grape nuts with a lot of brown sugar or maybe honey and then apple juice. And then I would eat that shit at 6:30 in the morning and I'd show up to the job site and at 8:30, I'd be like, God, I gotta lay down. God, I'm so tired. I can't keep my eyes open. Weirdness.
Instant,
it was like
instant
torture.
Instant coma.
I know, except it's one thing. So instant coma is fine. It's also
great John Lennon song.
John Lennon song, right. The coma is fine if you have a desk job. It's uncomfortable, but it's doable if you're seeing it. When you're feeling the coma start to wash over you from the grape nuts and the apple juice, and then Mike's format, your foreman goes, there's 80 sheets of half-inch ply out there. We need them on the roof now. And you're like, I got to lay down. And he's like, go get the fucking plywood. Like, it's climbing ladders with plywood when you're going into a coma.
Let me ask you a question. You're probably the most intuitive human being I've ever met. You notice everything.
Yes.
How is it you didn't go, wait, yesterday I had bacon and eggs.
I never had bacon and eggs.
He wouldn't ever know. He had nothing to compare it to.
Like, you never went, oh, you know, when I have this other stuff, it was always just that.
Well, my family, no one in my family would buy bacon. Bacon was bad. Bacon was bad for you.
Let's say you went out with a buddy and you guys had some kind of protein meal, a hamburger, anything.
Right.
Something had to happen where you never noticed, oh my God, when I eat this thing,
no,
I feel good.
Breakfast,
beer with it.
Breakfast was always grainy, whole grainy, cereally.
Childhood.
Whatever. Yeah. It was, and then into adult, it was almost like hot food. Hot food was bad. Like, if it was hot, if it was meat, if it was protein, it was considered not good for you. Like lentil bean soup, that was good for you. A steak was bad for you. And it had a kind of political component to it, you know, kind of a meat is murder thing. No, I had to get up at 6:30, and I've always been a person that wanted to stay up till midnight. So I would always go to bed at 11:45. It was hotter than balls in the apartment I was in. I was sharing a futon with a dude. I was tossing and turning like all fucking night. Then I'd eat my grape nuts, generic grape nuts with the apple juice, and then I'd show up at the job, and the coma would start to wash over me at 9 in the morning, and I'd think, God, you hate this job. Like, I thought it was like psychosomatic. It was like, it was so depressing and so shitty that my energy was because I was so bummed out by this job. But no, I never got any correlation.
So you never had the other side of it. You might have figured it out had you had the other side at any point.
Yeah, Mo, no one, my mom and my dad would have never done bacon and eggs. No one in my family would ever done it.
You mentioned teaching kickboxing and this kind of thing.
Yes.
Nothing happened there where someone said, hey, Corolla, have some eggs.
No.
Nothing?
No. It was during the egg debate where one egg a week is okay, but you don't want to do more than three a week or whatever it is. I mean, we're breaking eggs into literally you can have three, but no more per week. Like, it was a lot of that shit. And you have to understand,
whites are okay.
Yeah, egg white omelets.
Yeah, and you're from Nutria, Louisiana. You guys you're fucking old school. I was from California with a bunch of dumb shit hippie fucking progressives who didn't know anything other than meat was murder and this thing came from an animal and they had to kill that animal in order to eat this. So they were all in on the whole grain everything. Yeah, maybe that's where their lethargy came from. I don't know.
Brian is right. When I first got here, I can only talk people into egg whites. Mm-hmm. I was like, look, I need to get more fat and protein in. You know, like, I'll eat egg whites. And that was it. I couldn't even get them to have yolks.
Oh, God, no.
In the early 90s when I first got here.
Yeah.
And it was unbelievable.
It's funny that you said, like, politically and culturally, a hot breakfast had a bad connotation. But into the 80s, you were only a good parent if you gave a hot breakfast. So what do they start telling you to do? Put your grape nuts in the microwave.
Yes.
That was a big
one.
Or
there's the Quaker Oats, brown sugar and maple.
Right. A lot of malt meal at our house.
Strudels and such.
Cream
of wheat.
You
know what's actually interesting also is the few times in my young adult life that I had the hot breakfast, the bacon and the eggs, coincided with when I was hungover. You know what I mean? I've been drinking the night before. So it added the lethargy or that
There's
feeling.
There's no way to know.
Yeah, exactly. It's like that feeling of probably came from the drinking, not the food.
Oh, no.
Breakfast was not hot at our house ever. Never.
Wow. You alluded to it, but did everyone here venture into the world, the fast-paced world of generic cereals? Because a dollar made a big difference to you back then?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
It's just,
they come in the bag, not the box?
They come in the bag, not a box. It was always some knockoff like Happy O's or something.
Absolutely.
Whatever it was.
Yeah, my mom.
That's the lesson I want to pass on to my kid, and hopefully everyone can. You get what you pay for?
Yes.
Like the extra dollar is going to go a long way.
My mom would do whole wheat pasta with like low sodium tomato paste, you know, and it was like, first
she
off,
fed you like you were an elderly person.
Whole wheat pasta is the worst.
Feeding time at the home.
It sticks together. It turns into one big clump of gluten. Yeah. It's
that's a hate crime.
It is. You're right. And lentil beans. The only good thing about like a lentil or those kinds of soups is one, you'll find a little cube of pork floating around in, but this was meatless lentil.
You had the split pea and ham without the ham.
All right, let me tell you about Geico. Do you own, do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, and you work hard. I'll tell you what's easy, bundling those policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your automotive policy. It's a good thing, too, because they already have so much to do around your home. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save and just how easy it is to save when you get your bundle working at Geico. Vinny, beyond impossible. Oh, I even forgot. God damn it. Somebody, we're looking at the chicks and men on film.
Now you see why I thought it was a joke.
Yes. We'll put that on the website. Beyond impossible. Somebody tweeted me about the Impossible Meat, Impossible Burger, having all kinds of crap in it. I don't want to get you started. Maybe next time you come on, we'll get into that. The podcast, Fitness Confidential, with Vinny Tortorich as well. And the Vitamin Club, the Coffee Club, we're all in on all of it. VinnyTortorich.com is where you go. Rachel Lee Cook is going to be in studio right after this.
Saddle up and get ready for Westerns Weeks on Pluto TV, all for free. We're coming in blazing with favorites like True Grit and Once Upon a Time in Mexico. Or immerse yourself in binge-worthy series like Yellowstone and Walker, Texas Ranger. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies, TV shows, and more. The best part? It's free. No credit card, no sign-up, no fees. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now.